Hello, everybody. Welcome inside After Hours Sports. My name is Brandon Rosenthal. Alongside me, as always, is Eric. Actually, it's not. Eric's not here. It's just me and Social Mike right now. Mike, what up, doc?
What up, Ming?
I did the original intro, not even thinking that Eric wasn't like either on the call or like sitting next to me in the car.
I was about to say, what did I miss?
Nothing, not at all. Like, and exclusive, and now
at the buzzer.
So Mike and I are just going to talk about some of these NBA trades that happened today. We're on Anchor, so we're going to see how this audio is. Our second time recording exclusively on Anchor, so we're going to see how it goes. We usually record on Zoom and then we edit on Anchor and throw it up there. So we'll see how this goes. Mike, what do you think of this deadline, dude? Pretty active, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of trades went down. Was it somewhat surprising to you, the amount of trades at least?
No, I mean, these were just because all these trades were kind of just like poopy, you know, or not poopy, but they're all like second tier, third tier players.
Blockbusters.
And the two biggest moves already kind of happened, right? Harden already got shipped out, and then Blake Griffin also joined.
Right.
So those kind of things happened before. We're not even including PJ Tucker. We're exclusively all the trades happened today. The only thing I'm really surprised about is that Lowry didn't get moved. Like, I thought that that Toronto was like saying, okay, it's time. So I'm really surprised he didn't get moved, and especially after. You know, I don't want to jump right into Lakerland because I do want to talk about the trades. But it seemed after Portland made some moves, and I was like, okay, well, I think we really need to just step it up.
Denver.
Denver especially. But it really seems like this buyout market is going to be a little bit more luxurious than usual. It seems like there's going to be a lot more players. Andre Drummond is already... Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. It seems like the buyout market is bigger than the trade market. And the buyout market's even better because you don't have to give up any assets. So
correct.
I think Rob played the cards correctly, and we're talking about Rob playing at the Lakers GM. But let's get started on these trades, man, because it was a really good day. I guess Oladipo is probably the biggest name that got traded today as far as... maybe people know who he is. Maybe Aaron Gordon. But the Oladipo trade, let's start there. Oladipo was traded to Miami for Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and a 2021 pick swap. And the reality is this is now the Rockets traded James Harden for pretty much like Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk.
And the pick.
And that's just like fucking wild, dude.
Right.
And somehow the Lakers couldn't get Chris Paul. But this kind of shit happens, and it's totally cool. Like, it's totally cool. No big deal. Like, oh, it's just business 101. And it's just extremely. I see these trades happen every year, and it just pisses me off every day. Every day I see that shit, I'm like, oh my god, man, we couldn't have Chris Paul when we actually gave up assets, and we gave up real assets. But
right,
that was like almost like 10 years ago. we have a championship. We got it back. But what do you think, man? Do you think this does something for Miami? Is this obviously it's a upgrade from Avery Bradley? What do you think this does? Sure.
I mean, it's a good pickup for Miami, definitely, because now they got another scoring option other than Jimmy Buckets and I guess Tyler Hero. Mm-hmm. Tyler Hero has been playing pretty good. But yeah, you can't. Oladipo is a good player, like you said, an upgrade for sure over Bradley. And honestly, they didn't really give up much to get him,
dude. Nothing. They gave up nothing. Right. Like, Avery Bradley is nothing. Kelly Olynyk, not nothing. But it's just their salaries, and Bradley's right. Probably
they're not
get
at
bought
the same
it.
Level of Oladipo, at least to me.
No, not even close.
And I mean, I guess the biggest. Asset they gave up was the first rounder next year, but even then it's like they're going to be competing. So how late in the draft is that pick going to be?
Exactly. What are you going to want to do? Hey, if especially Miami has like a top 10 record, and if they get like one of the top seeds in the East, you know, you're not going to take Miami up on that pick swap. Like, hey, so this is it's a joke. It's like a joke of it. It's like a joke of a trade. It's something that you this trade happens when you control both teams in 2K. You right. know, like
when you take the what do you call it, that option off, when they can reject trades.
Oh, you trade over. This is 100% trade
over. Yeah, well, I forgot what that option is, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Trade over.
Basically,
right,
you can just oh yeah, there you go.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah, because I started a season in 2K 21 with all the younger Lakers. In order to get that, you had to, you know, make some trades. You know, even in a fantasy draft, you can't get all of them so close together. So, right. Yeah, the trade override is exactly what Pat Riley used here. I think he pulled it out of his wallet. He's like, nah, trade override, motherfucker. They're like,
he had
shit.
That one in the tuck.
Yeah, like they're playing Uno. He's like, shit. All right, there you go. It's pretty crazy, right? You're talking about like they were trying to get like Tyler. They were talking about Tyler Hero for Kyle Lowry, and they're like, "Well, what about Avery Bradley for Oladipo?"
Oladipo, right? And I mean,
fucking Oladipo.
You think the drop off from Lowry to Oladipo is that like that much?
I think intelligence wise, like game management wise, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Lowry's a much better player there.
Better player,
but,
okay, yeah, I agree.
You know, they also have on the Miami, they have Iguodala to handle the ball. They have Jimmy Butler to hold the ball. Adebayo holds the ball a lot. So it's not like they needed anybody to come in there and be the guy. They also have Dragic too.
Right.
I mean, whenever he's not the same, but Dragic can still get out there and play, you know, good basketball, 15-20 minutes, I imagine, when he's healthy. So Hero, you still said, is there. Like, so they have plenty of guys who, what they needed was just another guy to put the ball in the bucket. And Oladipo can do that even when he's injured. He's not a great 3-point shooter. So he's going to be like, when Jimmy's out of the game, go in there and just go to the rim, you know, do your thing. So I think it's great because now they really have like 7 or 8. They're deep, and
yeah,
that's what you're looking for in the NBA and in the playoffs when the rotations get cut. You know, is your 7th, 8th guy a quality? You know, that's what you need. We talk about that a lot in football. Like if your backup linebacker is also like a rated 75 in men, your team's pretty good. You know, like that means you have a really good depth. And I think this just adds to the depth of Miami. So I think it's a great move.
For Miami, yeah. But Houston,
yeah.
I mean...
No, for Houston, I don't know what the hell they're doing, man. I think they're just going
They're tanking, trying to cash in on these picks.
They're probably going to get rid of Olynyk and get rid of Bradley. I mean, Olynyk is okay. I just don't know what they're doing in Houston. And, you know, they've already got rid of DeMarcus Cousins. They have Christian Wood. And maybe they're trying to do this Christian Wood and Olynyk back. But Olynyk, like, he's played in playoff games. I don't know. I don't know what the end game there in Houston is. So it's really difficult for me to give... like any advice or because it's like I don't know what the hell you guys are trying to do, but if you guys are trying to suck ass and you're just doing a fucking great job.
Yeah, they're succeeding at that.
They are. So the next trade we got is a surprising one to me. I was surprised when this thing went down. The Clippers traded Lou Williams for Rajon Rondo. So Rondo back in LA, and so I think I was most surprised because I never thought the Clippers would actually trade Lou Williams. You know, it seemed like they were just a great match where he was just totally content with being the sixth man of the year for the Clippers, coming in and doing his thing. But nah, they needed a point guard and the salaries matched and Rondo was kind of just like floating away in Atlanta. So, and Lou Will is from ATL, so that's pretty dope. He gets to go home to the South. And whether he sticks there is another thing, but right. We were just talking right now. You were surprised at this deal too.
Oh yeah, I was because I was like I was gonna mention to you, I didn't think the Clippers were gonna make any moves. If I'm being honest, and I don't know if that's more of like, not because I'm like hating or anything, but I just I know that their cap was like they were pretty much maxed out, or they were over the cap, right?
Close. They were over the cap, but they made a trade earlier in the day, or. It might have even been late last night, excuse me, to get under.
I think
the
it was
cap.
After.
It was not a great, it was not a trade that you actually think about, but it's one of those deals that is a precursor to getting stuff done. So, you know, a shrewd move. And this, I love this trade, man. It solves exactly what the Clippers needed. Like, Lou Will doesn't play in crunch time. He can't guard anybody. He can only create for himself. He only has... Yeah, he was great last year with the pick and roll with Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl was on the Lakers. So it's like, what does he do in crunch time? He's had to move on. And Rondo is exactly what they need. You know, Kawhi's been complaining about handling the ball too much. But like I told my homie who's a Clippers fan, like, Rondo's going to create a lot of options for Paul George to miss open shots in the fourth quarters of these games. But the opportunities will be there. All jokes aside, like, this is exactly what the Clippers needed. We talk about how the Clippers are a formidable foe to the Lakers, and especially now that both superstars are hurt for LA, the real LA team, this JV squad can come up here and, you know, make some noise for themselves and move up in the standings and potentially get a number one or number two seed and compete with Utah for home court, because if fans are back, it's going to make a difference for some of these teams.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
I think fans will be back in LA by playoff time.
Well, they were talking about it on. Like I was telling you before we started recording, I was watching the game, and there's at Staples tonight, there was, I think, 50 fans.
Yeah, I think it's players' family, right? Like,
right.
Only family. I saw KCP's wife there. But that's cool. They're starting to let people back in there, and it's, you know, so these are going to be important times, and this is a great trade. It really is. And I wonder if Lou Will sticks. You know, the reason I mentioned Lou Will is that, you know, we know what Rondo brings to the table for the Clippers, so that's one thing. But I wonder what Lou Will is going to bring for Atlanta, because they have a ton of dudes over there in Atlanta who play the same position. I don't think he wants to play for that team, in my opinion.
Right. What I was going to bring up was that I'm like, man, it's a good trade. I think a lot of people were. I don't know if you saw the same. Like, the reporters were giving a good grade to Atlanta because they say, oh, they get scoring from Lou Will, which I agree. But as you just mentioned, there's a lot of depth there. You have some guys that were injured that are coming back. He got back maybe a couple games ago. Hunter, I think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's a rookie
He was a rookie last year, I think.
Okay, so second-year player. Yeah, he's, you know, a pretty good player. He's coming off
and
injury.
They have Herter. They have Trey Young, obviously. So, you know, they have a lot of dudes who have
Reddish. He's injured, but yes. Reddish is on there.
And they also have Kendrick Nunn. So they have a lot. They have
Bogdanovic
a lot of dudes
as well, right? They traded him from Sacramento. Shooter. Bogdanovic.
Bogdanovic. That's right. He's there too. Shit, I forgot about him. So yeah, they have a crap load of players. So,
going to be interesting.
This seems to me like a buyout. Like, it
for
just
Atlanta?
Does. Yes. It just does to me. And there's a few places I can see Lou Will going. Philly has needed a shooter for a very long time, and he has had love for the brotherly, the city of brotherly love for a very long time. So I feel that is a good mix if it doesn't work in Atlanta. I can also see a team like the Knicks, who didn't make any moves at deadline, who needs scoring, who is making that push, and Lou Will can come in and have zero expectations. They already have D Rose, so I feel like they can just have a hodgepodge group of dudes. Julius Randle has the ball a lot. Or even the Lakers can make it, if he's cut.
Bring him back.
Because I really feel that, not that I feel, this was fact. It's fact, Mike, that we gave away Lou Williams for nothing. It was silly, and we should have had, he should have been a Laker for a much longer time.
A few more years.
You know, but it is what it is. Here we are complaining after the year after we win a championship.
Crazy that Rondo goes to the Clippers, though.
Yeah.
Good move for them.
I really want a 7-game series between the Lakers and Clippers. That would make me so happy. I just don't want to lose that series. But it would just make me happy just because the battles. Like, Rondo, and I can already see Rondo and Schroeder just pissing each other off so much for 7 games. It would be so good. Trez, I don't see Ibaka. I think Ibaka just plays the game the right way. I really like Ibaka as a player, but
okay,
I can see Serge pissing a lot of people off, setting some ugly screens. I mean, you saw that scuffle between him and Dwight today. That was a little ridiculous, but that's Dwight. That's classic Dwight Howard. Let's move on to this next trade. You ready?
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon. So this is the part of the 3-part Orlando fire sale, right? So AG gets out, he gets his wish, traded to Denver. Denver gives up Gary Harris Jr., RJ Hampton, a 2025 first round pick that is protected. I have my thoughts on Aaron Gordon as a player. I think he's obviously one of the best dunkers I've ever seen. But agreed. as a player, I don't know. He has an awesome afro as well. Something that I don't have the ability to grow myself anymore. But I don't know what he can bring to a championship team. And maybe that's just like to be determined because he's been on Orlando for his entire career. So, but what do you think this fills for Denver?
This is a strange trade for Denver, but I think, of course, for what they gave up, for sure, this is a great move for them. Gary Harris Jr. wasn't really getting playing time.
Nope.
He was getting outplayed by, I think it's Barton who's playing in this place. The other guard.
Will Barton. Will Barton is there. They also have MPJ who plays kind of that guard forward mixture.
Yeah, the slash. Yeah. MPJ is good. Strange because he plays kind of Aaron Gordon's playing with the four.
Yeah, that's what he excels at the most.
Okay.
He's like replacing Millsap essentially in the rotation.
Right. I think Millsap's a better shooter than he is.
And a better defender, I think. Well, I mean, maybe not athletically, but I think Millsap has better instincts.
Right. So, again, strange trade. It's a good move for them because they get a good young player who's, like you said, a great dunker. Possibly, I don't know if he's going to come off the bench, but possibly another scoring option for them as well outside of Joker and Murray.
And Jamal Murray. That's right. That guy. It's depth, and especially like you said, if you can give up what you gave up, and they gave up RJ Hampton, who is a undetermined product right now. He's a rookie. We don't know what he's going to be. He has a lot of hype around him. But when you draft well and you have depth and you're a pretty good team, you have these, you can trade good young players and be okay with it because you also lucked out and got Porter Jr., you know, like he literally fell into your fucking lap. We were talking, and this kid is definitely ready to play like at a high level. So,
yeah,
you know, with Gordon can do, he can run around, you know, he can do a lot of things decently. He's a decent 3-point shooter. But I'll tell you this, on all of Denver, if he is on the court, I'm leaving him open. Like I'm telling my defenders, do not leave Murray. Don't leave Jokic. Don't leave Millsap. But Aaron Gordon, I want that guy shooting threes. Like that's, you know, I feel like he's more dangerous.
You can live with that.
Yeah, a lineup that can scare me with Denver is like Murray. And this is all like running and gunning, right? It would be like Murray, Barton, Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Jokic. And if Jokic is in foul trouble, they want to go all small. They can just put AG at the five, and then Millsap. Or I'm sure I'm missing a rotation player for Denver. But they're definitely a good team, and you know if they're looking for a third star, I don't think that this is the move. You know, I didn't see any other title contender, knocking down doors. Begging, like, give me Aaron Gordon, you know.
Right.
And I'm glad the Lakers didn't do anything either. I wouldn't give up any prospects for Aaron Gordon. I just don't know what to expect from him on a team deep in the playoffs. And granted, he's never been deep into the playoffs. He's only been to the first round with the Magic. I just don't know what he'd do. So that's the only thing for me. He's still got some things to prove, but he can come in and give you so much energy, and I can easily see him like, especially if fans are there, you know, he can have some powerful dunks in postseason games, and we've seen that a dunk can change momentum, and momentum in playoff games can mean a lot. Doesn't mean everything, but it's definitely worth, if they feel they can win a championship right now, then maybe it's worth RJ Hampton.
I wasn't really following the Nuggets. Was Hampton getting a lot of playing time? Not really.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he was getting an extremely extreme amount of playing time. I'm going to Google him right now.
and like see, not enough minutes, right? Like, because like I mean, we were just going off like a bunch of names. Like, where was he getting thrown into that? You know, where was he?
Well, coming? Let's put it this way: he's getting 9.3 minutes per game in the regular season. So, there's not a lot. I mean, look, he was born in 2001, which is crazy enough. So, I mean, he's not getting his fair shake in Denver, and so now he gets to go to Orlando, where they're literally just all about, all right, well, have some fun.
Because even at probably at the start of next year, a lot of these guys might not even be on that team as well.
No,
so they're probably trying to figure out who they want to keep and or who's worth re-signing.
That's what it's all about, you know. And I feel like Terrence Ross is another guy who could be easily bought out. So, I'm looking at Denver's roster, and it doesn't really, stand out to me. You know, they're still, we kind of mentioned they have this guy Campazzo. And this little dude, where is he from? Argentina, it looks like. Campazzo, every game he has like a no-look pass that is so nice. It's unbelievable. I don't know if you've ever seen like the NBA top 10 plays, but this dude, he's like a little Brazilian. He reminds me of Huerto. Oh, Huertas.
Oh yeah.
You know, like all flash, like even, but it seems like he's a little bit, Campazzo is a little bit better than Huertas, but I digress.
I was going to say, is it something like what everyone expected Ricky Rubio to be? Hype about Ricky Rubio?
No. I think Rubio was way more hype. And to be honest, I've always liked Ricky Rubio's game.
Me too.
I wish he should have panned out
to be what they hyped him up to be.
I still think so. I mean, like, what do we expect these guys to be, you know? Like he was a solid defender. He averages almost double the assists. He's become a much better shooter. It's, giving the keys of the kingdom to a 19-year-old kid from Spain is really like, especially when most of the American businesses and these teams, and we've clearly seen the Timberwolves, it's like one of the worst companies in America. But yeah, they're those get bailed out because they're part of a collective bargaining agreement. So. Let's move on.
Yeah, because even in that draft when they picked Rubio, who was the other guard they took? Johnny Flynn.
Johnny Flynn.
Steph available still, and
yeah, Steph Curry. Remember him? Ever heard of him? Ever heard of Steph Curry? The next trade we got: Bulls become buyers. By the way, all these trades are available at nolimitjumper.com. It's a site I also manage. I helped them write an article about this, so I'm kind of going to the page that I wrote today. So that's why I'm reading this headline.
Yep, check it out.
It's a great thing because the Bulls are actually buyers. Like, they haven't been buyers in a very long time since D Rose. I feel like that D Rose Thibodeau era was like gone in a blink of an eye, and you look back and it's like, holy shit. And D-Rose is like four teams, on his fourth team from that. Joakim Noah's retired. Luol Deng is out of the league. Boozer is out of the league.
Retired.
And it goes fast, dude. It goes fast. And here LeBron is still kicking ass. Well, with one ankle now. So the Bulls get Nikola Vucevic, and Al Farouq Aminu, who I forgot he even existed 2 days ago. I saw a highlight of him, like, oh yeah, he's in Orlando. And that's what happens when you go to the Magic. You normal NBA fans forget about you. And so the Magic get the new group of people that will be forgotten about: Wendell Carter, Otto Porter Jr., a 2021 first round pick, which is top four protected, and 2023 first rounders. So we're talking about players that haven't even been drafted yet that are now already forgotten. It's terrible, Mike. What are we going to do about this?
Well, I mean, damn. For their, hopefully, for Orlando's sake, they better hope that the Bulls are not contenders, because those picks will be, as we mentioned with the previous trade, that's going to be a later round pick.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, it's top four protected, and that's kind of what, where... go ahead. I was going to say, yeah, they're just hoping.
It's that new thing that NBA teams are doing, the protected picks. And, like you said, like, they know the Bulls aren't going to be one of the worst teams in the league, especially with Vucevic now. They're not going to, but they are an injury away. Like, right now, they're playing pretty good. And which is surprising a little, still a little surprising. But then again, Markkanen was hurt last year, and they, you know, they had some talent. So Vucevic is averaging a career year, 24 points a game. LaVine is having a career year. So somebody's going to have to give. But this, I do like this move because it shows the Bulls are actually like
trying to go for it. Or yeah. trying to add building pieces to the team.
The NBA expanded. You know, there, how many teams can make the playoffs now? You know, the top six is guaranteed. They have to fight for the other spots, but now it's 10 per conference, and the Bulls are like, shit, we can at least do that, and they're doing better than that. And this new NBA, you just got to score with teams. There's nobody in the East that's going to dominate, and if Zach LaVine gets hot and he's playing with confidence. There's not a lot of guys better than him in the Eastern Conference, and there's really not. You know, Kawhi's not in the Eastern Conference, and if you're playing against Ben Simmons, you know Ben Simmons can maybe lock him up, but LaVine is just as athletic as Ben Simmons, even and way more gifted offensively. So
he's become a better shooter.
LaVine is a great shooter. And from what he came into the league and not being a great shooter, streaky, more of a dunker.
I was going to say the Aaron Gordon.
Exactly. Perfect. You know, exactly where my mind went to. I'm glad you went there. It's a perfect segue because, right, we're talking about two career arcs where one guy was in a dunk an epic dunk contest against each other. And then, you know, now LaVine's on to bigger, better things. And we're still talking about Aaron Gordon, like, man, I wish this dude, you know, could go back in the dunk contest. but this is a great move for the Bulls. I'm really curious to see what it does for their franchise. If, you know, it's not going to put them over the hump, and which means, like, we're talking about championship hump, but definitely puts them in the right position to make a playoff push and maybe even get into a second round. Vooch is a talented center. He's much better than Wendell Carter Jr. And they got out of Otto Porter Jr. I'd much rather pay. You know, Farouk Aminu can do some things too. He's long. He can bother guys, especially guys like Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You know, guys in the East that they'd have to play. Farouk Aminu can maybe do some of those things for you. And just not having to pay Otto Porter Jr. is always a fucking win. If you can get that guy out.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that's a crazy salary that he makes. It's not his fault. Fuck. He's good for Otto Porter and his family and his agent. He's chilling. He's just like, hell yeah, I'm going to. Now I'm getting. He's actually getting more money because all these guys are going to Florida where there's no state tax. So good shit. You know? And if they have another. Yeah, and if there's another NBA bubble, they're already good. So they just stay home. So the next move, anything else you want to add on that one?
No, I mean, you pretty much covered it. Great move for the Bulls. Again, Orlando, another move. Like, what are you doing? I don't think the Bulls on this one gave up that much either. I mean, the two first-rounders. But Wendell Carter Jr. is pretty good.
That's what I was going to say. I do like Carter Jr. I do think that he's only like 23 years old. You know, he can finish at the rim. And now they can really see if this, like, can a Mo Bamba and, you know, Carter Jr. tandem work in Orlando. And, you know, they're always injured, this Orlando team. They have Fultz still, and he's hurt. They're paying him, like, max money. So this is, you know, Otto Porter Jr. is there now. We'll see what happens. But it's rebuild time in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if any fans are going to go to those games, but maybe they can blame COVID still. Like, oh, no, it's infected. So don't go to games.
Next year when they make all these picks.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a few more deals left that actually have some relevance. J.J. Redick has been traded to Dallas. J.J. Redick and Nico Melli traded for James Johnson. Wes Nwundu, everybody knows him, obviously. cash considerations. And then a 2021 second rounder. So really it's just J.J. Redick wasn't getting playing time. Him and Stan Van were not seeing eye to eye. So he's like, get me out of here. So he's gone, going to Dallas. And J.J. Redick has made the playoffs every year of his career except for last year. And so now I think he's going to go back to a team that's probably going to make the playoffs. And I like this deal because, you know, they're gonna get to stretch the floor. However, I just don't know if he's going to outperform some of the guys that are already on the team. You know what I'm saying?
On Dallas? Yeah, because Hardaway Jr. Shooting the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
They have –
he's very streaky.
The other guard? There's another guard.
They also have Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have Richardson and I was going to say J.J. Barea, like he's still fucking there. How old is Barea now? He's like 55 years old. I'm like, yeah, I have Barea. You know?
Both J.J.'s.
Yeah, I just don't know because, you know, Luka plays the point. You know, they could stretch it out. I can see Redick taking some of Richardson's minutes. And we're talking about Josh Richardson, you know, the guy. I think he's still there. And if he's not, then I'm talking about somebody else. But I'm pretty sure he's still there because I know he was on Miami and then he got traded. And it's just always Richardson, like, he's a decent three-point shooter. Obviously, Redick's a much better three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just gives Dallas more of what they already have, which is three-point shooting and not a lot of defense.
Yeah, they're building to score a lot of points, but like you said, not doing a lot of defending.
You're going to see a lot of these 125, 130 point games with Dallas. That's for sure. And
go ahead. My bad.
What were you going to ask me?
No. I was just going to say you basically you said it's kind of not much of an upgrade for Dallas. I mean, they get a better shooter. But it's
definitely,
not something,
definitely better
a position
shooter.
Of need, right?
Yeah, not a position of need, and I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference moving forward. I can definitely see him hitting some shots, that's for sure, you know. And maybe it does make a world of difference, and I'm really wrong as Stephen A. Smith myself, as I give both sides of the argument. Well, you know, there's also this side, but let me tell you about this side. I just don't know. I can see Josh Richardson being sometimes more valuable in a series, depending on the matchup, because you know Redick can't play defense, he's older, and if he's not hitting shots, then he's essentially useless. So, yeah, I don't know. If this was a few years ago, I would have been much more sold, obviously. And I feel there are better fits for Redick than this one, but good for him. Got out of a situation and he got to a place that he's going to get shots, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say he's going to get more playing time as well.
A little bit. All right, so let's move on to the next trade. We're going to breeze through these next few. Blazers acquired Norman Powell from the Raptors. And we started this podcast by mentioning that Lowry did not get traded, but Powell did. So he goes to Portland, who needs some depth, and they get it. So this is I do like this deal. It's not going to steal the sunshine or the spotlight away from anything, but it's just a great trade. They gave up Gary Trent Jr., who had some moments. Gave away Rodney Hood, who was expendable. Do you have any thoughts on this trade?
I think for both teams, this was a good deal. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, the Blazers get a good player, a player of need. Trent Jr. Sorry, I almost forgot his name. Trent Jr. going back to Toronto is a good move for them as well because they kind of get a shooter that can obviously help them as well. Rodney Hood, like you said, is not really. I don't see him getting much playing time with VanVleet and Lowry now still staying there. He'll maybe come off the bench, give him what I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes, if that. I think Trent is going to get more playing time than Hood, but I think it's a good move for both teams.
I agree. I actually really agree. Really. There you go. That's my good English for the day. You know, he fills a need. You know, Gary Trent Jr. and Rodney Hood can easily be turned into Norman Powell, like minutes wise. And Powell's having a great career season.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I don't know if this is going to put Portland, you know, it's still going to rely on Dame, but this gives him more firepower. This is probably the best wing they've had in a long time. And Carmelo Anthony doesn't count. You know, we're not talking about Prime Melo who's dunking on cats.
Sure.
So this is, I like this deal. So I think this makes Portland a much more formidable foe. Doesn't make them the title contender that they hope to be, but it puts them at least a step closer in that direction, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So let's move on to, actually, there's one more trade that I wanted to mention that for about Orlando that we didn't, that I forgot to jump to. Orlando ships out Fournier too. So they shipped out Evan Fournier to Boston for 2 second rounders. Fournier is expiring. This is a great move for Boston. This is kind of like a mini Hayward replacement, like a Hayward light or Hayward French. Hayward. So, you know.
Did you see his tweet?
Yeah, dude.
To the Celtics fan?
And did you Google me? Did you Google it?
Yeah.
So if you
So if you I didn't, but I thought Fournier, it was just funny.
No, it's funny because you know what happens if you Google Fournier. It's like a fucking disease that grows on your like dick and balls area. It's like fucking hilarious. So he knows that. Yeah, obviously he knows that.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to name Fournier and people don't like, he probably gets tweeted it every day of his life. Like, yeah, your name, blee, 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 blee. Like, you know, what Twitter is. Dude, Twitter's retarded, dude. So hopefully we don't get canceled for me saying that word right now. And it's 20, you know, we have like 50 listeners sometimes. So maybe one of those people is going to rat me out. Maybe it's going to be Eric.
the episode I sat out.
I know, he sat out. He becomes a... Eric would never. I do like this deal for Boston. You know, They gave up nothing. 2 second rounders is like giving up like a fart. Like, here's my fart in a bag. Enjoy it. But like I said, Orlando... These are two more players potentially that can be forgotten in Orlando. And expiring, easy. I forgot what Fournier makes, but he's averaging almost like 20 points a game. And I don't know if he's not going to do that, obviously, in Boston. He plays the same position.
Boston, sure. I agree.
Plays position.
They have more Tatum?
Yeah, and Brown, right? You know, they still kind of do the same thing. But depth, it just gives them more depth. They can literally have almost five guys that play the same position or interchangeable with, or four guys and then Kemba, if Kemba gets hot. It just, you know, it's just new style of NBA where, like, you can just have guys that are all 6'6", all swingmen, and just play the game, you know, all right, like, it's like street ball. And that, you know, that can become a dangerous lineup for a few minutes game. And Fournier can also, if guys are in foul trouble, he can just fill it up. So, good shit for him. And hopefully... he plays well enough to put Boston in a position where they can fuck up.
Get bounced in the first round.
I like seeing Boston advance a little bit more, you know, like for competitive spirit. But every time we expect something, like last year, we were like, oh, maybe we can get the Clippers. They didn't make it. Maybe we can get Boston in the finals. They didn't make it. So, but it is always nice.
Better.
It is always nice seeing them. Yeah, it was a little better, to be honest. It always is nice seeing them eliminated because we know that they're not going to get another title. So let's jump back to the deal we were going to mention. We got a couple of three teamers we're going to breeze through here. The Sixers trade for George Hill. So George Hill, I feel like he is on a team every single year, all the time. He gets traded every single deadline. It should be the George Hill annual trade deadline, sponsored by George Hill and George Hill Anonymous. George Hill now goes to the Sixers, so he would have played in this game eventually tonight against the Lakers. And he's going to do his thing. You know what George Hill does at this point. The Knicks get Terrence Ferguson, and the Thunder get Austin Rivers and Tony Bradley. So this is just... Do you have any opinions on this trade, or is this just kind of like, cool, this happened, should we just move on?
Yeah, not really. Like you said, George Hill is always getting traded. Mm-hmm. He's one of those players... unfortunately, similar to like a Trevor Ariza, who was same after a few solid stints with a few teams, he's just always on the move.
Dude, yep.
Not really. I mean, there's not like you said, we know what George Hill is going to give Philadelphia. Austin Rivers to OKC. I think that's a good pickup for them because it gives them a player that he was playing pretty good for the Knicks.
Yeah, I kind of fell out of rotation a little bit, and
yeah, he was getting outplayed. They were giving minutes to the younger players.
But OKC is
looking to build around,
and OKC has a weird team already, so I can see Austin Rivers kind of going there and like fitting in oddly, and all those
with,
dudes.
SGA
is talented. I like him. He's like,
yeah, he's good.
He is good. He's, you know, he's like Ja Morant, but just bigger, and maybe a little better. But Ja Morant gets more
distance. Shooter, a little better shooter, I think.
Oh yeah, and just bigger, dude. He's like 6'6". Like SGA, Gilgis. It's easier to say SGA, obviously. Gilgis Alexander is really, really talented. So the next three-team deal we got. And I don't want to mention George Hill. Maybe he'll take the place of like Shake Milton or somebody like that for Philly. Maybe depending on like who's hot. But it could be easily irrelevant. So this next deal is even more but the Boston Celtics get Mo Wagner and Luke Kornet. They get rid of Daniel Theis, which is kind of surprising. And Daniel Theis goes to Chicago. They also get Javonte Green, Troy Brown, and the Wizards get two dudes I've never heard of, Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson. Now, Chandler Hutchinson sounds like, I don't even think he sounds like a basketball player. I don't even know where he, but, you know, good for him. And anyways, so this... trading Theis is interesting to me. I don't know what it really means, but it's for sure something. Wagner is a totally different type of player, and it looks like they're trying to, you know, stretch the floor and really provide shooters for Tatum and Brown and open this up. And then I guess for what's his name? Kemba.
Yeah. Interesting move because how do you pronounce Theis? Mm-hmm. He was having a good year for them.
You know what I'm saying?
He was probably for sure their best he's center because they also have Tristan Thompson, but he's Theis was playing way better than everybody they had there. They have it's not Carter. They have another. Is it Carter? They have another center.
No,
as
they
well,
have Williams. Rob Williams.
Oh, William Williams. I'm sorry. Yeah, Williams.
Yeah, this clearly opens the door for him to get a lot more playing time.
Right. I think they maybe they saw enough where they're like, okay, this kid's going to give us maybe the same production, if not better. Mm-hmm. Why limit the minutes to somebody who's you don't see sticking around, or you know you're giving minutes to somebody that you're not seeing long term is going to be on the team.
Yep.
So yeah, good move for them. But at the same time, like I said, he had been playing better than any of the centers that they have right now on their own.
You know,
but they kept at least.
Dude, the Bulls turned their big men. They turned Otto Porter and Wendell Carter Jr. into Daniel Theis and Nikola Vucevic. That
good,
is
good exchange.
Solid.
That's a
solid upgrade right there, man. Like that is good because Daniel Theis, I could see it's just depth, right? Is Vuce can get in foul trouble and then you just bring in Theis and he's just a solid fucking dude who knows how to play basketball, knows his role, and like some guys make a certain amount of money, right, per year, whatever, $6 million a year, which is, you know, still insane money. Like, you know, we're talking like this is a jump change in NBA land, but that, like, to us, like, that would be like, well, man, we can record in a studio. But the ability to understand your role on a basketball court and to know what to do, that should be, it's like almost worth like $2 billion fucking dollars, because it's like going to work and actually working with a coworker who understands their place. There's like they communicate, they, you know, and you're like, oh man, this is refreshing. This is nice to be a part of this. And I feel it seems Daniel Theis is that, you know?
Right.
Like, for especially for what his role is. He knows he's not going to go out there and average 15 points a game and, He's going to go out there. And,
he's not the star. No, he's not. Man, they're not asking that. Him to be.
You, right. You need that shit on a title team, especially if you're trying to build something that can get there. And this move tells me that Chicago is more serious than the Vucevic move. You know, it's like, yeah, this is built, and they're getting like Javante Green, who can do some things. Troy Brown can do some things. So it's not too bad.
Troy Brown is the one from Washington,
yes,
right?
So he was part of that three-teamer. And, you know, he's out of that. And Washington is an interesting team, too. They're just kind of going nowhere. And the Bulls are making moves. They're buyers, man. This is nice to see. I can see them being buyers at deadline. There's one more trade that I want to mention before we get to the final one, which is, and Miami acquired Nemanja Bjelica from Sacramento, who you may not know who he is, and I'm sure you do, but this is a guy who, if you're ever watch the Lakers and Sacramento game, especially like our listeners who live in LA, he's a dude who is like a white dude who can always like stretch the floor and shoot threes.
Always lighting us up.
All pick and pop monster. This guy, and he doesn't look super athletic. He has good hands, good intelligence, European dude. And they got him from Mo Harkless and Chris Silva, and those two guys have played like 200 minutes to combined, all for Miami. So Miami just adding depth. Like, this is exactly what they needed. They got rid of Olenek and replaced him with a guy less annoying.
Yeah, good move for Miami. They got along with Oladipo, another player who's going to be to give him points.
Dude, building depth, man.
Right. And yeah, exactly. Another he's coming off the bench, right?
Oh yeah, dude. There's no way he's going to start.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm like. He's coming off the bench.
Yeah, he's going to take Adebayo's place.
Yeah. he'll definitely probably score more than.
Well, because Bam wants to pass the ball
or a lot easier.
Because he can shoot threes. I mean, he could just like. And the match had some good range too. Like, him and LeBron had that low, but also classically LeBron did mash all over his fucking face like a couple years ago. I think it was his first year, maybe even last year. Like, he had like a massive highlight where he just cocked it back and just like destroyed Bjelica's soul. So LeBron does have his soul, but that it's still not bad.
Top shot
not
moment.
Yeah, exactly. Top shot. I've not partaken. Have you?
Yeah, I mean, they're
okay. We're gonna have to, when Eric comes back, you'll have to teach us about Top Shot, because I have no. I that's one thing I haven't got into yet. So I still feel like an old man. People are talking about something. I'm like, just nodding my head. Like, yep, sure, cool. Last trade we got. I know for those who are sticking around for this one, you will not be disappointed. I promise you. JaVale McGee back in Denver. I think it started in Washington, I can't remember at this point. Damn, I'm old.
Yeah, JaVale's gone through.
Can't remember where he started his career. But anyways, I know he had years in Denver where he had a plenty of Shaq and a Fool moments, and has become a three-time champion since then. But JaVale McGee is back in Denver. The Cavaliers, because he was on Cleveland, because the Lakers traded him there, I think, for, I forgot for who, for like Alphonso McKinney and I forgot, somebody else. But Isaiah Hartenstein, remember him? No, me neither. Never heard.
Isaiah Hartenstein?
Yeah, Harden, no. Exactly. It's Harden's Jewish friend. A 2023 second round pick protected numbers 31 through 46. I mean, if I'm the GM of another team and somebody calls me like, yeah, we want to offer a second round pick, we want to protect it. I'm just like, yeah, just fucking do it, dude. Like, what the fuck? I don't give a shit. It's a second round pick. Like, if you think that 15 pick range is so valuable to you, fine. They also get a 2027 second rounder. So Cleveland really thinking of the future and thinking like, how far in advance can we get a meaningless second round pick? 2027, bro. Like, are you kidding me? 2027. I'm looking at my watch, like, Hagen, it's 2021. March 2021.
So 6 years.
March 2021. How many people do you think involved in this trade will still be working at the teams they have made this deal? Like fucking zero.
I was going to say McGee will be out of the league.
He'll be replacing Shaq on TNT with McGee a fool. What do you think? McGee back in Denver.
I guess for McGee, that's good. He's going to be able to come off the bench and
from the worst to fucking first.
Right. Give some depth at the center for Jokic, and like you said, now they have a lot of different looks they can give teams with Millsap there, AG there. So this is a good move for them. You're not asking McGee to come here and give you a lot of scoring, more of like. For some defense and getting boards.
McGee can, meet some people at the rim. That's for sure. He can come in and provide Jokic some much needed break, because Jokic is famously, right. He gets fatigued. He's a big dude. He runs a lot. He's in good shape now. And I think he's probably in the best shape of his career. But these playoff games get intense, and at the high altitude in Denver, you'd want to have some backup plans for your big men. This also keeps, I mentioned that Aaron Gordon could play the five earlier. This kind of makes sure that unless they need to go small for matchup purposes, that McGee will be that backup five.
Right. And then you can rotate Millsap and Aaron Gordon at the four.
Excuse me. They're deep. They are definitely deep, Denver is. So they got a bunch of guys. If you're playing looking at a 2K roster, they probably got a bunch of guys in the 78 to 79 to 80 range in rating, which is a good solid team. So that's it, man. Thanks for sticking through us. I know Eric probably wouldn't be a part of this, but he will come. He'll be back. He'll be back for another episode whenever we meet up again. But yeah, we'll definitely probably talk about the Lakers, because we're going to have like some emergency, like all the fucking everything is burning up. Oh my God. So this is actually, let's get your, as my phone falls down, let's get your thoughts before we get out of here on the Lakers not making any moves. So a little bit, surprising. I really thought we were going to get Lowry, man. I thought we were going to pull the trigger. And I was like, let's just do it. But apparently, because if I were Toronto, it seemed like they were asking for THT. And some people were saying, yeah, let's do it. LeBron was famously quoted earlier this not famously, fucking New York Times. He likes THT. He thinks he's a good player. He thinks that the Lakers stole him in the draft. So clearly he thinks highly of him, and maybe we should hang on to him. And it seems like Polenka agrees. I am a little surprised we didn't pull that trigger for Lowry, especially because we're so far off in negotiations with Schroeder.
Yeah, and early, was it me who in our group text this morning started that conversation where I was like, I want Lowry, but I don't want to trade Schroeder? That was my
exactly.
That was
Eric and I both agreed that we would make the deal for Schroeder. Schroeder for Lowry. Correct.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But trading Schroeder, right.
Different things. Gotcha. And I think for a style of play with AD, sure fits phenomenally. Like, so much better than Lowry.
Yeah. And, what's crazy? Like, the more, as the day was, progressing and the talks were heating up, I kind of towards the end of when the deadline was getting closer, I was kind of like, okay, I actually now hope that we do make this trade. But it's strange because I was more on the I want to keep Schroeder, but then I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, but Lowry, it came down to what I think you made the comment when you're like the 20 mil. And I was like, I would prefer to pay Lowry the 20 mil than pay Schroeder the 20 mil, Schroeder.
And now we have a playoff run with Schroeder to find out what's up. And
right.
I'm glad we didn't give him PhD, though.
I, Yeah, that's true. I think from what I read, the first trade offer was Schroeder, KCP, and Wesley Matthews, right?
I think so. If I'm Toronto, I'm like, well, deal with KCP.
Nah. Right. You're like, nah.
Oh, man, the Lakers made it.
And that's why I think
we made it respectable.
Go ahead. Yeah. Because they were getting worked. Game's over. They lost 101 to 101.
Danny Green.
What happened?
Are you shitting me?
Oh, yeah.
Are you fucking shitting me? Yeah,
I told you.
Eric, when you listen to this, man, I mean, I'm sure you listen at some point. Danny Green dropped 28 fucking points.
Oh, you saw the game?
He hits 9 of 14 mm-hmm. shots, 8 of 12 from 3. Good for you, man. Good for you.
I was telling you.
Good shit. You piece of.
He hit the dagger bit basically in this game. Because we were down 3 Damn. Or 2, and then he popped 3.
Kuzma. Nice. Look at Schroeder. 20 points, yeah. 11 assists. Shot the ball 6 of 14 though. That's not good though. I mean, look at KCP though, 19 points, Montrez 20. Yeah, I mean, we're a sub 500 team without Bron and AD. But they'll be back at some point. Whenever we get more ready, we'll make up again. But
I wanted to add one thing. I am surprised that we at least didn't go get Terrence Ross.
I think he's going to be a buyout guy. And we started that.
I hope
we
so.
Mentioned the buyout conversation earlier. You know, it looks like Drummond and LaMarcus Aldridge are going to be huge buyout guys. Lowry is a sneaky buyout guy.
Maybe Lou.
You know, man, if they were going to eat money anyway, it's like, and maybe if I'm Toronto or Masai, I'd be like, I'd much rather pay you, you know, Kyle. And if you want to give back to us by agreeing to less money, then you can pick the team of your choice. You know, that's always an option for Lowry as well. And I don't see... That could be a win-win, you know, if Toronto wants to tank, especially. Like, Lowry gets to pick the team that he wants. We can say bye-bye amicably, you know, blah, 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 blah. We'll see. Yeah, thanks for sticking around, dude. Thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. This is a lot of fun.
Of course. Thank you.
And shout-out to everybody who listens. Yes, we really appreciate it as well. You can check out my article on No Limit Jumper, but we want to make sure that you check out afterhoursports.com, ahsportsla.com. Whenever, I'm sure Mike will have a new soccer piece at some point. Maybe I'll even throw up something on there at some point. Who knows? But at least the podcast is up there, and the podcast is always available on any platform that you want nowadays. It's pretty easy to throw it out there. So, Mike, thank you very much. Keep your family safe. And hopefully we can link up soon, brother.
You as well.
All right, man. Later.
Yep. Sound good, man.